Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. I'm Tyler Tischler, Associate Editor for Reader Views.
And I'm Victor Volkman with Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's April 22nd, 2009, and welcome to episode number 85 in our series. Tonight's topic is How to Turn Browsers into Book Buyers, and our special guest is Michelle Howe. We'll have a conversation about how you can turn your website into a definite asset for book marketing. You can learn more about our guest on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We'd love to hear your questions and comments. Please send them to info@authorsaccess.com. Now tonight we're on the line with Michelle Howe, MBA, owner of Internet Word Magic. She is an expert in search engine optimized copywriting for websites and the author of the award-winning book, Turn Browsers into Buyers, Secrets for Turning an Internet Profit. Her site is www.turn-browsers-into-buyers.com. A former university professor, Michelle consults with companies to assist them in effectively positioning their online marketing message to match their offline branding. If you want to use the internet to communicate or market more effectively to your target audience, she can definitely help you. Well, good evening, Michelle.
Thank you.
Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to get started by asking you, what do you think are just the key points that people need to understand about website writing as opposed to, you know, if they're writing marketing pieces like brochures or newsletters?
Yeah, I think one of the most common mistakes I see and people don't realize is that it's you have your marketing materials, what I call the offline marketing materials, which are your brochures or your one sheets, and you have the material there, and you think that this is my marketing material, it's working, so all I need to do is slap it up on my website, and I'm done. Well, the problem is that there is a big, big difference between writing what I call online and offline writing. And this is something that I discovered for myself when I started my business about 7 years ago. I needed to write the content for my website, and I started doing some research. And what I discovered is that there's a huge difference out there between writing for the internet and the offline, the marketing that you would do normally. And if you don't realize that there's that difference out there, then you make some big mistakes with your website.
Can you explain to us, when we're talking about writing for websites, are we talking about writing copy that will get the customer to stay there and then to buy our product? Or are we including things like keywords onto the web pages just to get the customer to the website in the first place?
Good point. It's actually both. And that's why website writing is so completely different. You're actually writing for two audiences. You're writing for the human beings that are coming to your website, and you're also writing for the search engines. So let me explain a little bit of why copywriting online is the same and then why it's different. It's the same as offline writing because you're still trying, the basic rules are the same. You're still trying to reach your target audience and convince them to do business with you, to convert to a sale. And the target audience is always looking at it from the angle of what's in it for me. And you, with your copy, are trying to convince them through benefits and establishing that emotional connection that they should be doing business with you, that they should buy your book, your program, whatever it is you're trying to promote. So that's how it's the same. So you're still using that skill set of trying to reach them and get that emotional appeal, because people buy due to emotion, not logic. So you have to reach them emotionally. Then you also have the component of the search engine optimization, which makes it different. So what we're dealing with the internet is a completely different business environment. It's not the traditional medium for advertising and marketing that we're used to when we look at advertising in a newspaper, in a magazine. It's just completely different because look at it this way. Think about it this way. Imagine you're driving down the street and there's a billboard up there. If all these cars go by and read the billboard. But if you're not interested in what that billboard is selling, you're really not going to pay a lot of attention to it. And it's the same way with a website. You've got all this information on the website, but if you're not reaching out to your target audience, the people that come to your site really aren't going to pay attention. They're really not going to care what you are promoting. And the other component that comes into play here is that with the Internet, it's a completely different business environment because Internet customers participate in the marketing process. When it's offline, you're being marketed to. But when it's the Internet, you actually are part of the marketing process, and it's really gotten more and more evident now with the blogs. But communities, the Internet is basically a community where people share information. And so when you go to purchase something, the chances are really good that you're going to be doing some research, and part of that research is going to be getting people's opinions. For instance, my husband and I just got back from a vacation in Costa Rica. And before we went, one of the things we did is we went online and we searched travel sites and got information on the hotels, but not just the actual basics of the hotel. We went to the areas where they had the customer reviews, and we read all the reviews on what their experience was like when they were staying at the hotel. That helped us in our decision to decide where we were going to go for our trip, where we were going to stay. The same thing happens hour after hour, day after day, with millions of people on the Internet. They are researching and looking for information to make a decision. So your website, it's really, really important that your website has that information for them to make that decision. Because the sad fact is 95% of the people that come to your website are not going to choose to do business with you the first time, which is a really disappointing thing when you think about it, because you've put all this time and effort and money into your website, and now you're like, oh my gosh, where are the sales? What's happening? So you have to take a completely different way of handling marketing on the Internet so that you can get those sales.
Well, the title of our topic is Turning Browsers into Buyers, and I'm wondering if when you gave that example of a person in a car driving past a board, that only gives that person a few seconds to see that message. Right. And I'm wondering if when we're talking about browsing on the Internet, if that is part of the whole marketing thing, is that people don't actually read web pages, they kind of scan them. I mean, I know exactly. I only have so much time in a day, and anytime I go online, I look at things very quickly before I, you know, I don't give the same attention I would if I was going to sit down and actually read a book.
Yeah, that's exactly the situation. And if you're writing your own content on your website, the chances are you've gotten too much content. Because people do scan websites. They say that when they land on your homepage, typically, about 50% of the people are going to land on your homepage. You have less than 4 seconds for them to decide if they're going to stay and do business with you, or, you know, poke around a little bit on the website, or if they're just going to go away. Because most people, when they're using the Internet, they're in the research mode. So when they go to your site, there has to be something there that attracts their attention. So this goes back to knowing who your audience is, what the purpose is for your website, and how are you going to attract that specific audience to stay on your website. Most people don't look at their website as a marketing tool, and it's a complete failure, because what happens is they say, okay, I need a website. Let me go find a graphic designer, and I'm going to get a nice-looking website. So they go and they find a graphic designer, and they look at his or her work, and they say, okay, I'm a book author. I need a really nice-looking website. Can you put one together for me? Absolutely. So they put a good-looking website together for them. But here's the problem. You have to make sure that the person you hire to design your website is also someone that understands how to market on the Internet. Because otherwise, what you're going to have is a nice-looking website that doesn't function as a marketing tool. So in other words, what you have is an electronic brochure. It will display your book. It will have information about it, but it won't lead to the conversions, the sales, the generating leads. So when a website is designed, you have to look at the content, the navigation, the way the information is placed on the website, and you have to look at ways of generating leads, because here's what happens. Remember when I told you that 95% of the people are not going to do business with you that first time? You
right.
need to have a way to capture, I say capture, that sounds evil. You need to have a way of encouraging them to give you their email address and name so you can continue to market to them. If you learn nothing else from this talk today, remember that a website needs to have a way to build an ongoing relationship with the people that came to visit you. They came for a reason. There was something about your website. Somewhere they read something that drew them to your website. So what you want to be able to do is have interesting headlines that make them want to stay a little bit longer, and then you also want to have a way that they can continue doing building a relationship with you by allowing them to become part of your list, your database. And then you continue to market to them. And it's just like direct marketing. They say that you need 7 to 9 touches before you can hope to make a sale with someone when you do direct marketing, which is the postcards, the letters, all the different mailings. And guess what? It's the same thing on the Internet. You have to be able to continually have that touch point with them in a way that encourages them to want to build a relationship and do business with you. And that's actually the name of the game, is building a relationship with these people. It's not so much selling them, it's getting them to feel comfortable with you and like you and want to do business with you.
Okay, Michelle, that makes a lot of sense. Let's suppose that I've got a sign-up box, and I guess I'm going to offer them my bi-monthly newsletter. How do I follow up in an effective way to make it, you know, a helpful relationship and not like I'm spamming them?
Excellent question. First thing I would say to you is make sure that you're not just offering them your monthly newsletter. Make sure that you're offering them something that they really want. You could offer them a couple of chapters of your book so that they can read it and get a feel for what the book's all about. You could create a special report based on the information in your book that they would want to read. And you need, nowadays, unfortunately, it used to be you could just have a sign-up box and say, sign up for my newsletter, and people would do it. People have email fatigue right now, and they're getting too many emails, so they are very, very particular who they give their email address to, and they really have to want something. That's the first part. Second part of your question is, okay, now I've got them into my database. How do I keep touching base with them without becoming a spammer? It can be done, definitely, but what you have to do is you have to have an attitude of, let me share information with you and enlighten you on a regular basis, not try to sell you. So what you can do is you can set up a series of autoresponders, and you can use a service like Constant Contact is just now in their beta phase. They have autoresponders, and there's a service called AWeber where you can set up autoresponders, which are a series of emails that you pre-program in to go out at a specific time frame, like once a week, once every couple days, once every 2 weeks, whatever it is. And the cycle starts when they sign up. So maybe a week after they sign up, they'll get an email from you that said, hi, did you enjoy the chapters from my book? I hope you did, because one of the things that you, if you haven't had a chance to read it, I want to let you know that in that chapter, I talk about how to put a family budget together in 5 easy steps. And I hope you had a chance to read it, because next week I'm going to be sending you some information on where you can get a free blah, blah, blah to help you put together your family budget. So what you do is you're continually giving them information and making them say, gosh, I want to hear from this person. This is great information. And this is one of the things I do, is I try to, I'm always on the internet looking for information in my field. And if I find a website that I really like or a blog that I really think has got some great information in it, I send that out to my list and I say, hey, I just found this terrific blog and I learned a bunch of stuff and I know you could too. Check it out. So don't be afraid to continue offering them great information, because what you want to be able to do is eventually, you know, say every 10th one, you have great information, and then you have a little thing that says, hey, have you purchased my book yet? Or, hey, have you looked at these CDs that I just did? Or, you know, that kind of a thing. So you kind of sneak it in there without being really obnoxious about it, where it is, buy this, buy this, buy this. People aren't going to put up with that. They get off the list.
This is fascinating. So I'm seeing two different strategies that you can use together. There's the traditional sort of email blast, which can be more directed at things that might have a specific event happening in time. And you also have this pipeline sort of subscription that starts you at a specific stage as soon as you begin the relationship.
Yeah, and it's really great when you have these autoresponders set up, because you don't even have to think about it. Once you set them in motion, whenever anybody enters into your system, it already takes care of things. And you can sit down and say, okay, there's 52 weeks in a year, I need 52. What little, and they could be tips, just short little tips. I've had people that do positive thoughts for the week, where they send every Monday, they send out a positive thought. I mean, it can be anything that you think that your target audience would value. And that's the key. You know who your target audience is. You know who you're trying to reach. So really think about what would be valuable to them and then give it to them free.
Wow, that's a great plan.
Thank you.
So let's see. The same sort of thing I believe you can do with Twitter. I've been experimenting with it now. Do you have a specific strategy for that?
Yeah, it is the same thing with Twitter. You definitely want to come across as someone that's helpful and knowledgeable and willing to share what you have. And that's where Twitter becomes really effective. If you take the opposite, where you're like, hey, buy this, hey, buy that, people are not going to be interested in you. Social media, the social networking is great for people that have the attitude of, I want to share my knowledge, I want to build relationships, because it really, really pays off. And so social networking is a great way to go. And you can, what you want to do with the social networking is you want to lead them back to your blog, not to your website. You want to lead them back to your blog, because your blog is where you really showcase who you are as an author, what you think, what you feel, what your opinions are. People find that interesting. And they will buy a book from someone that they think is interesting. I'll give an example of myself. I've been going since I started the Los Angeles Times Festival of Books, and I always go to the different author panels. And the fun thing about it to me is to see those four people at the panel. Some of them I don't even know who they are. I've never heard of these authors, but it's a genre that I'm very interested in. And what I do is I listen to the authors talk, and they answer questions from a moderator, and it's great, because they're fun questions, and it's engaging, it's funny, it's lively. And if I see an author there that I love the way they're answering these questions, I'm laughing, I'm enjoying their personality, I go out and I buy their book. In fact, sometimes I just go buy every author on the panel, I go buy one of their books, because they've just blown me away with their personalities. And I am never disappointed. I always enjoy their books, because there's just something about them that just resonated to me when I heard them speak, and it's the same thing with their book. So an author can really start building that relationship with their audience through a blog, and then it continues with the social media. With your website, you're a little bit more limited, but you know what's happening now is websites and blogs are blending. People are putting websites together with WordPress, which is a free software, and it started out primarily to be used for blogs, but now what's happening is people are creating websites with WordPress that is a blog and a website together. I don't know what the name is, but that's what they're doing, and the search engines love those sites. Totally. You know why? Because it's got new information coming constantly. So if you have a blog and it's separate from your website, make sure it's part of the subdirectory so that you're getting the traffic from the blog coming into that the website benefits, I should say, from the traffic from the blog. But if you have a WordPress website that you're also using as a blog, those things are gold. I mean, I've talked to people that have been doing that. They switched over, and they have had huge jumps in their Google Analytics, big improvement in the search engine optimization.
Michelle, since we're talking about we were talking about like you're being at a listening to authors at a conference talking,
right. Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering about in terms of blogs are written, but how do you feel about people adding things to their sites such as recordings or even videos? Mm-hmm. And what is the effectiveness of that? Does that actually get people to stay at
yes.
the site and listen to those?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. People want to be engaged and entertained, and it's also a great way to start building that relationship. They hear your voice, they see you on the video. People love that. One time I was doing a teleclass, and there was a woman on the line that she'd been on my list, she told me, for about 3 years, and she hadn't purchased any of my products. And when I was on the teleclass, she actually called me up after the teleclass, and she says, "I got to tell you, Michelle," she says, "after I heard you talk, I had to buy your product." She says, "just hearing you, the passion, the excitement you have about what you're doing," she says, "that just sold me." And it's the same thing on your website. If you do a teleclass, record it. Put it on there. Offer it. In fact, you could offer that as a freebie for getting them to opt into your list. I did that before. It was someone else that I recorded that had a wonderful teleclass on pay-per-click, something that people are really interested in. So I gave that away for an opt-in. There's lots you can do.
I wanted to ask you, too, about you were talking about statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And I always get my, my statistics from our website, how many people are visiting what page, how long
mm-hmm.
they stay on the page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never quite sure, though, how I'm actually doing. So can you give us some ideas about what our statistics can tell us and what kind of a plan, an action plan we should derive from what the statistics tell us in terms of moving forward?
Excellent, excellent question, because people should have Google Analytics on their blog and on their website. Google Analytics is free. And you should be looking at that on a regular basis because it gives you a clue to how to improve your website. For instance, if you look at your analytics, it can tell you where people are going on your website the most. Are they going to the homepage? Are they going to where you have all your articles written? Are they going to where you have the videos? Are they going to where you have the audio? And it tells you what works and what doesn't. And the other thing, it can tell you where they're coming from. So maybe you have done some advertising on another website, and it'll tell you if that advertising is working. Or maybe a blog wrote a comment about your book, and that's driving traffic to your website. So you can look and see where things are coming from, and it just really helps, and it tells you what are the key words that people are using to find your website. So that helps you for search engine optimization purposes. It tells you automatically, oh, these are the key words that people are putting into a Google search to find me. So I better make sure that I'm using those words on my website so they can continue finding me. So these are all there's so much you can learn by analyzing the statistics. And of course, you can keep track of how many unique visitors are coming to your site. And if you're not, unique visitors are people that haven't been there before. So you can take a look at that month by month and see what's going on. And if you're not getting a lot of unique visitors, that means that you need to start doing some marketing. You need to start bringing them in. You need to start putting an internet marketing strategy together, because a lot of people think, oh, I have a website, that's all I need. No. You actually are the one that has to drive the traffic to the website. You have to do the things that will bring the traffic to your website. And when you start doing something, say you started submitting articles, then the next month you can check and see, okay, did that plan work? Have things improved? Am I getting more unique visitors? Are they coming from the article directory sites that I submitted to? So it gives you a chance to look at what you're doing and see what you need to tweak. It's a constant process.
Could you tell us a little bit, Michelle, about, building trust with the audience? I know that you talked about like newsletters, and you probably get people that just keep subscribing to your newsletter. But like for an author that maybe is a fiction writer and mm-hmm. only writes a book that comes out maybe once every 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. or has a new book maybe after 2 or 3 years after their last book, how do you keep the audience's, interest and trust over that time frame? Especially if like you write a book and you feel like your message from that last book is getting old.
Mm-hmm. I think probably the easiest way to do it is to make sure you do have a blog, because a blog is something that you can stay current on and constantly be giving your opinions on things. Seth Godin is a really good example, I think. He's got one of the most popular blogs out there, and his books are very popular, but in between the books, he is constantly putting information on his blog and giving his opinion on things and making predictions. And with a blog, you can have it set up so that you answer your readers' questions, so you can keep that dialogue going too. A blog doesn't have to be just one way where you just are putting your opinion down or commenting on things. You can have it set up so that when people respond to your blog, that you will post a response to it. And I think that's a good way to continue having that dialogue. And keeping the reader's interest, putting a contest together is a wonderful way. You've already got these people that are in your database, and they adore you, and they can't wait for your next book to come out. Put a contest together or send out a survey. What do you think my next book should, my next character should be? That kind of thing. And there's a tool out there called SurveyMonkey that's really super easy to use. They've got a free one out there that you can use, and the one that you pay for is like only $9.95 a month or something. It's very inexpensive, and I've used it with my clients. And it's fantastic because what it does is it reaches out to your audience and gets them interested in participating with you. And on your website itself, make sure that you've got testimonials. Very, very important to have testimonials. The videos are wonderful. If you can get people that give a video testimonial, audio testimonials are wonderful too. So there's lots you can do, but I think it's really important that you have that autoresponder system going, and you continually try to engage your audience to participate with you. So it's not all one way where you're just constantly dumping stuff on them, but ask for their opinion. Ask them to participate. Ask them to be like, part of your club type thing.
Right. Those are all some great ideas. I was thinking back to Charles Dickens, who used to release his books on the installment plan, and you could maybe have readers vote on what's going to happen next. I don't know.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, that's really, really cool. I mean, there's different... I mean, I've heard of people that have a contest for title of their book.
Yeah.
Or the name of their character, the lead character. What should the name be? I mean, there's so much... People are so creative, and they love to do this. And when... Especially the fiction writers, that when they have people that are love their work, they want to be part of what they're doing, and they're so interested. I know my daughter is a real big sci-fi fan, and she is in contact with a writer that has a blog, and this writer is so good about connecting with her readers, and when she finishes a chapter, she'll post part of it to them because she knows they're just dying to see what's going on, and she'll post it for them. And I just think that is so cool.
Yeah, that's really great. One thing which, I mean, I'm not a fiction person, but I've heard of people writing blog posts in character. So maybe, yeah. You know, on Mondays you could be the evil banker or whatever.
Exactly. There's just so much you can do now. And for being an author nowadays is a lot of fun. There's so much you can do if you really think about all these different opportunities that are available to you. It's great.
How important is the old link back thing of getting people to put links back to your site? I've always felt kind of creepy about asking for that.
And you should. It's something that should occur organically, and it should be something that and Google actually looks at links for relevancy. And what it is when somebody asks for a link is they're trying to beat Google at its game. And you can't beat Google at its game. You just can't do it. And the best thing to do is go to other blogs that are relevant to your audience, and you can do postings on the blog, which will cause a natural organic link back to your website. And that's a nice way to do it that's not what we call black hat or evil. And it's legitimate, and it's really helpful. So when you go to different blogs that your audience might go to, comment on it. And when you comment, you have your name and your website or your blog address, not your website, your blog address in there. So if somebody's interested in what or agrees with what you said or likes what you said, what have you, or even disagrees, they can go back to your blog and take a look at things. And what it does is it just gets new people interested in you and what you're doing, as well as creating that natural organic link.
Well, I do like that much better.
Yeah, it's a nicer way to go. I have people that send me emails and say, well, will you link back to me and I'll link back to you? And I'm like, you know, I don't play that game. I'm not doing it.
I guess I just I'm impressed by all the information that we have here. I'm trying to think about things that I'm not doing right with my own website. one thing I'm wondering about is we talked about language with mm-hmm. Visitor doesn't always read things, they scan things.
Right.
Are there certain words that will grab their attention? Are there like magic words that we should put on our websites, especially if you're an author? Like, mm-hmm. you know, does it matter if your website says you're an award-winning author or best-selling author or any certain?
What you have to do is you have to look at your specific audience and what is their biggest problem they're trying to solve for your specific audience, and put a headline in there that would grab their attention based on that specific problem. And if you're not sure what their biggest problem is or biggest concern or biggest need, do a survey. Ask them. And then you can create a headline that will create that emotional connection. You want a headline that grabs their attention and makes that emotional connection. When you say things like award-winning author, that gives you legitimacy and says, okay, quality. That's not them. So what it is when you write the information, you want to do it from what we call the you viewpoint, from the reader's viewpoint of what their concerns are, what their needs are. So it's very unique, but it's easy to do if you know your audience. And that's the key to all successful marketing, is really knowing your audience and what's that pressure point that you can push to that emotional connection that you can get that makes them say, whoa, I got to stop here and read some more because this is what I'm looking for. Remember, they're researching. And why are they researching? What is the problem they're trying to solve? What is the situation that they're dealing with? And why is your book the solution? So you ask yourself those questions, and then you look at your audience, and then you can create a headline based on that. And make sure the headline has some of the key words that they would use in their Google search. And, of course, that would be a natural flow because of the analysis you just did. You naturally come up with the right keywords when you ask yourself questions like, what's their biggest concern? What's their biggest need? If I were my target audience sitting here at Google trying to research, what would be the words I would put into Google to find information? That tells you what you need to do.
Wow, it sounds so simple when you put it that way. Okay. Well, thank you. This has just been a great conversation, and I've gotten a ton of ideas out of this, and I'm sure Tyler has as well. Let's mention your sites again. It's www.turn-browsers-into-buyers.com. Are there any others you want to plug?
Yeah, my actual website for my business is internetwordmagic.com.
Great. Well, thank you on behalf of myself and Tyler and Irene, who couldn't make it, and she will be sorry.
Irene's great. Thank you for having me.
Okay, you've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air May 7th, 2009, when our topic will be What Every Publisher Must Know About Accounting. And you can learn more about all of our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send us your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Press.
For Reader Views, this is Tyler Tischler in Marquette, Michigan.
For Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening.